Bibles, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. This evening our text will come from just two verses. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Tonight we're going to talk about experiencing the renewal of Christ. The renewal of Christ. And we've been learning about abiding in Christ. And as we learn to yield to the Holy Spirit of God and we become more Christ-like, then desires of Christ will be renewed in our hearts and minds day by day. We start to understand what truly pleases God and stop living for what pleases ourselves. We start to get God's desires start to become our desires. And a Christian who's becoming more like Christ will love God's work, seek God's presence, and abide in God's strength. And so we want to be renewed by the Lord day by day. We'll learn about that this evening. Let's stand together if you're able to honor the Word of God. Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. The Word of God says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Please put your heart and mind in ours, Lord. Just help us to know your will, and Lord, help us to do your will. I pray you convict our hearts through your word tonight, and help me from nothing without you. I pray that we would all make decisions for you, Lord, that the changes that need to happen in our hearts and minds in our daily lives would happen, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit. Convict us through your word, through your spirit tonight, and change us, Lord. So thankful for Jesus, for all that you are and all that you've done for us. Thank you that we not only have salvation through you, Lord, but that we can abide in Christ day by day. And please help us to grow in that tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Tonight, we want to be challenged to begin pursuing God's presence personally, to seek God's strength through daily fellowship with him, and to discover God's joy by spending time in his presence. And so we think about the Christian life. It's not a religion. It's about a relationship with God. When you think about the Bible, it's really that's what it's about. God created Adam and he had a relationship with Adam, but Adam broke God's commandment and he messed up that relationship. And really the whole Bible, God's plan of salvation, is about restoring the relationship that God wants to have with mankind, and that can only happen now through Christ. And that's really what it's all about, is God wants to fellowship with us. God wants to have a relationship with us. God wants us to be able to commune with him, to walk with him, to live with him, to abide with him. And that's only possible through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And friends, I want you to realize tonight that God doesn't want just to save us from hell. He wants us to experience life with him day by day. It's not just 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, say a prayer, and now you get to go to heaven, and that's it. No, he wants us to live with him day by day in this life. Amen. And it's so easy for us to get caught up in the here and now and get caught up with the things of this world and the carnal life that we miss out on the things of life that really matter. Amen. And so we want to be challenged in that tonight. In this day where we live, there's an abundance of agnostic reasoning. There's a focus on self-help. And we've got to understand that God is the reason that we're here today. And God is the one who can transform us and who will transform us into the image of his dear son. And this is not you're going to fix your life up and turn over another leaf and read some book off the bestsellers list and get your life fixed up. No, we come to God by faith in Jesus Christ. When we begin to obey his commandments and follow the leadership of the Spirit of God in our lives, then he begins to transform us day by day into the image of Christ. And listen, none of us are going to attain Christ-like perfection in the flesh. But we ought to be striving for it day by day. Amen. To be as much like Christ as possible. To overcome temptations. To put off the old man. To put on the new man. And to walk that walk that God's called us to. The primary purpose of our life is not to learn more about ourselves or other people. We're here to know God and become like him. Do you ever hear somebody say that they're just trying to find themselves? You ever heard that? Am I the only, have you guys heard that? What a stupid thing. Listen, if you can't find yourself, I'm concerned for you. I figure this, no matter where I go, there I am. There was one lady who was trying to get in touch with her inner self, and she said, I finally got in touch with my inner self, and she's just as confused as I am. And friends, that's not what it's all about. It's not about self-discovery or any of that other nonsense. What it's about is to know God and to become like Christ. And that ought to be our heart's desire. And if you're born again, that is your heart's desire. Your desire is to be like Christ. It's built inside of every true believer. And so when we think about this, the last seven lessons that we've had have been about what it means to abide with Christ. Jesus said, abide in me and my words abide in you. And we've had seven lessons about abiding in Christ. And now we're going to kind of move on to the next step. And look at specifically what Christ desires to do in and through our lives as we abide in Him. So step one, abide in Christ. And then step two, as we abide in Christ, God wants to do some things in our lives. All right, so number one, if you're taking notes tonight, and I think almost nobody is, but if you are, number one, the desire for renewal. The desire for renewal. God will create a will inside of you to know Him. He changes our desires. In Romans chapter 7, verse 18, Paul said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Everybody get that? Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Now, he wasn't talking about before he got saved. He's talking about right now, as he's an apostle of God, a missionary of God, and one who is being used by the Holy Spirit to write the New Testament. He said, there is nothing good in my flesh. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. And Paul struggled with the battle between the inner man and the outer man, the carnal man and the spiritual man. The old man and the new man. You guys with me? He had a hard time with that battle, and he said, the will is there to do what's right. Well, where does that come from? Well, it comes from the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. We have a desire inside of us to do what God wants us to do, to live according to His will. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So He puts the will of His good pleasure inside of us. Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And God works from the inside out, and God puts a desire to come to Him, a desire to be close to Him, a desire to abide with Him. There was a French proverb, maybe you've heard it. It says, a good meal ought to begin with hunger. You ever heard that? Have you ever noticed that when you're hungry, the hungrier you are, the better the food is? Amen. Not true? And never go to the grocery store hungry. Amen. Never go to the grocery store on an empty stomach, because everything looks good. You spend at least $50 more when you go in there hungry. Amen. I mean, it's crazy. But a good meal begins with hunger. And we ought to have this desire. When you're already full, it's hard to enjoy your food. It doesn't keep us from eating it, but it don't enjoy it as much. Right? That's why some of you start with dessert.
Amen.
As Christians, we need to empty our hearts of fleshly desires and have a hunger to know Him. Do you think that sometimes you have a lack of desire to know God?
Amen.
You know why that is? Because we filled our hearts and our minds with so much other junk.
Amen.
And when your mind and your heart is full of the things of this world, it leaves little room for a desire for God. And so we've got to learn to empty our lives of the things of this world so that there is a hunger and a desire for the things of God. Amen. Now, I want you to think with me for a second the difference between fleshly and godly desires. And I wonder right now if you would just think for a moment in your own mind some of the desires that you have in your heart, in your mind. Your desires, what is it that you want? Think about it for a minute. Think about the things you want. Some of you right now are thinking you want sleep. I'm just guessing. No reason for me to say that. Just guessing. Some of you desire food. You're thinking, I wish I had time to eat before I got here. Some of you ate and you're thinking, I wish I had dessert. Amen. Think about it. What is it that you desire? You guys help me out tonight? Less pain. Relief. That's a good one. More time. More money. It's getting real now. A vacation to a tropical island. Any tropical island? Any tropical island? Anywhere. That works. A husband that doesn't want money all the time. There's a little conflict there. Somebody can be spiritual too. We can pretend like we're spiritual too. That's not a very good joke because I know that you have spiritual desires too. What are some spiritual desires? To love him more?
Well, I think it's to see people honestly saved.
See people saved.
Their life changed as a result of the salvation. To show the world what God has done for them and put it out there where everybody can see it, not be ashamed.
Amen.
And then from that point on, to live up your life the best you possibly can.
Amen.
And those changes you just don't see much, and I have desire to see that.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, we rejoice when somebody makes a profession of faith, but, I wish I could remember who it was, but somebody came back and they reported that somebody got saved, and they said, do you think they really got saved? And he said, I don't know. We'll know in about 3 years. You don't know. People's lives are going to be evidenced later. Anybody can get excited for a minute about something, but their life will be changed if they've truly been saved. What else? Desires. To know the Word.
Amen.
To understand it. And apply it. Amen. Amen. It's good. I can almost smell the smoke. People's wheels are turning. Continue to think about that for a moment. But let's go back and review. And listen, this is not to judge anybody, but this is just the reality. We think about our desires. We think about the things that we want. Now classify them. Is that a carnal, fleshly desire, or is that a spiritual desire, a godly desire? And we know in our hearts and minds, we know. Think about the things that we desire, that we really, really want. Is it fleshly? Is it spiritual? Is it godly? Now, is that to say that it's wrong to have money or to go on a vacation? No. Is it wrong to get some relief from pain? No. But what is the real desire of our heart? And see, here's the difference. I want you to think about the Apostle Paul. He had that thorn in the flesh. He asked God to get rid of it, and God finally came to him and said, no, I'm not getting rid of it. My grace is sufficient for thee. And Paul said, I'll glory in my infirmities then. If I'm going to get more of Jesus through this thorn in the flesh, then I'll take it. Do you see that? Now, I don't know. You all are probably far more spiritual than I am. When I am sick and hurting or when some tragedy happens to my family, I am closer to the Lord. Because in my weakness, I go to God. But I'm telling you right now, I don't want that. I don't want sickness. I don't want pain. I don't want tragedy. That's just the honest truth. I don't want that stuff. And that's where my heart's not right. Because if I look at it and say, well, that stuff is going to bring me closer to Christ, then I ought to rejoice in it. Not just tolerate it, not just make it through it, survive it, but rejoice that God brought this terrible thing into my life, but that terrible thing brought me closer to Christ, and I'm depending on Him more. Now, that was the heart of the apostle. And what a heart. What a heart. And I'm just telling you, I don't even want the flu. I sure don't want any stomach viruses. I'll take the flu over stomach virus if I get the pick. But I don't want any of it, even though in just those small little things, it brings me closer to the Lord. And so we need to look at our heart. Think about it. We need to have desires that will help us grow closer to the Lord, and we need to let go of some of the other desires. All right, he changes our will. He gives us desires, and then he changes our direction. He leads us to know him. He leads us to know him. He said in our text, Philippians 2:13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." He gives us desire to know him, and then he accomplishes his will through our lives. Now Galatians 5:16 and 17 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would." And so we've got this old nature, the flesh, and it is desiring things that are against the Spirit. And the Spirit is desiring things that are against the flesh, and they are contrary to one another. In other words, have you ever felt like you're being pulled in completely two different opposite directions? Amen. You ever feel like that? You know why you feel like that? Because you are. Amen. Because that's the reality. And the flesh is pulling you down, and the Spirit is pulling you up, and we are battling in our lives day by day. And so we've got to learn to walk in the Spirit so that we can overcome the lust of the flesh. The Holy Spirit gives us a desire to know God. The Holy Spirit gives us a desire to be in church. The Holy Spirit gives us a desire to know Him and to study His Word. The Holy Spirit gives us desire to witness and share the gospel with other people. The question is, am I going to follow God, or will I continue to let my flesh control my life? Now listen, when we were lost, we were slaves to sin. Amen. We were in bondage to sin. God set us free and put us in a... Listen, when you're lost, you don't have any choice but to sin. Amen. You get that? You there's no way you can do anything but sin. You say, well, I could be morally righteous. I could do good. Yeah, and in your flesh, your righteousness is as filthy rags. There's nothing good. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And any man that's not in Christ, that's doing good and proclaiming his own goodness, that's an insult to God. Amen. You guys get that, right? Amen. There was no goodness in your life without Christ. Right. Whatever good deeds you may have done, it's not good in the eyes of God. Amen. But God set us free, and he gave us liberty so that now we can do good and do righteously and do what is right in the eyes of God. Amen. With God's power and God's blessing. And we don't have to live in sin anymore. We're free to choose and to have the ability to do what's right. And yet we crawl back over here and live in sin and put ourselves in bondage again to sin. Friends, it makes no sense. It makes no sense. And we're all guilty of it. Romans 8:14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And in verse 16, he says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." And God gives us the Holy Spirit to show us we know that we're saved and to guide us, to lead us if we really are saved. The Spirit gives us the will to do what's right. The Spirit gives us a desire to be like Christ. And the flesh wants to bring us back. The flesh wants to take us back to old friends. The flesh wants to take us back to the wrong kind of music. The flesh wants to take us back to sinful and addictive habits. The flesh wants to take us back to where we were, and all the while God is trying to lead us into something better. God has a will for our lives and wants us to help us to do according to His good pleasure. A lot of times you can recognize a Christian by his lifestyle. You can tell that a person is following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And God did not save us so that we could go back to our old sinful lifestyle. He saved us so that we could follow the Spirit day by day. And if you've never had a desire, listen to me, because I think this is just real. And I know, I look around the room and everybody in this room tonight is a member of Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. But this is the honest truth. You could be a member of a church forever and not be right with God. Amen. So hear me as plainly as I can. Say this. If you have never had a desire, I mean a real passion in your heart, a desire to grow in godliness. I mean, you've never had a desire to be like Christ, to know God more, then you really need to examine your heart to see whether you're in the faith. Listen, it's good enough reason to examine your heart if you don't want to read your Bible. Because, listen, if you don't want to read your Bible, there's something wrong. Now, can anybody besides me be honest and say there have been times I didn't want to read my Bible? Anybody else? Okay, just checking. Listen, and listen, I was saved, but I needed to get my heart right. But I'm telling you, if you've never, ever, ever had a desire to read the Bible or to know God or to come and worship Him, then you need to check your heart. You need to examine yourself because God puts that desire. He's so plain. He gives us desire. He puts the will in our heart to do of His good pleasure. And so if the will to do His pleasure isn't in your heart, there's something wrong. Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. For they shall be filled. John 4:14, but whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And when Jesus talked to the woman at the well, she wanted to talk about religion. She wanted to talk about all those different things. And Jesus just simply said, listen, you're not going to get satisfaction anywhere but right here. Amen? Amen? We're not going to find satisfaction apart from Christ. He is it. All right. So we see the desire for renewal. Let's talk a little bit about seeking renewal. Seeking renewal. Psalm 105 and verse 4 says, seek the Lord and His strength, seek His face evermore. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 29, Deuteronomy 4:29 says, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him, if thou seek Him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. By the way, God's always been concerned with our heart. This is not some New Testament thing. God's the same all the way through. And God has always wanted our heart. People get the idea God in the Old Testament was just concerned with outward action, you know, giving sacrifices and doing those things. No. God wanted people's hearts, and He still wants our hearts today. We need to seek Him with determination. There are men and women in this room tonight who know a lot more about determination than I do. My generation, and I feel confident in saying generations behind me, know very little about diligence and determination. Some of you have had to work hard. Some of you have had to struggle. Some of you have had to go through very difficult things, and you've had to have determination to get to where you are today. I want to tell you, my generation, for most of my generation, the ones following me, we've had things very easy. It's been easy. Didn't have to be determined, didn't have to be diligent about anything. It's just, it's right there. I think I come from a generation of quitters. Anything didn't come easy enough, we just quit. I'm not proud of that. That's just the facts. And I'm telling you, friends, that when we come to this thing of knowing the Lord and growing in the Lord and knowing His will and living in His will, we're going to have some grit. We're going to have some determination. It's not going to come easy. Somebody said they want to know their Bible better and understand it. Well, we want that, but we all understand tonight you're not going to know the Bible and understand the Bible unless you diligently study the Bible. It's not going to come from sitting it on the coffee table. Well, I mean, we're going to have to dig and study, and it takes effort. Study is weariness to the flesh, the Bible says. It's hard. It's difficult. And so we're going to have to be committed to knowing Him. A lot of people have the idea that the Christian life is a party, nothing but fun and games. You think that's true? You think some people think that way, though? People are apathetic toward the Lord because they're passionate about seeking other things. I'm going to say this, see if I can't get somebody upset with me. It's always my goal to get somebody mad. If people in America, if people in Oklahoma, if people in Sequoia County, if people in Muldrow were as passionate about knowing God as they were about their kids' sports, this would be a different community. Oh, now you're preaching against sports, huh? No, I'm not against sports. I think sports are fine. I think they have their place. But I don't think they're God. And I make no mistake about it, I think that kids' sports have become a god to so many people in our community. And it only gets worse the older they get sometimes. And I'm trying to say that people are so passionate about some things. We need to get some passion about God. Amen. We get passionate about our hobbies and our activities and sports. Friends, when are we going to get passionate about something that really matters? Amen. The problem is we think that we can be passionate about both God and the world. You hear me? We think we can be passionate about God and the world. You ever feel like that? I'm be passionate about this. I got this. I love this. This is awesome. I love it. But I want to be passionate about God too. And I'm gonna do both. Well, I know we all feel like that. But Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." You can't do it. You can't do it. We need to have a passion to seek God. Passion to know Him. The Christian life is not effortless. It requires effort. It requires that we seek God diligently. And He promises to reward Him when we seek Him diligently. Paul had a passion to know the Lord. He said in Philippians 3:10, "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death." Paul had a passion to know the Lord. King David had a passion to know the Lord. He was a man after God's own heart. He sought the Lord with all his heart. And friends, that's what sets those people apart from us. We have all the opportunities. If we want to be like David, if we want to be like Paul, we can be. We just got to put away all of our other passions and seek God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We need to seek Him not only with some determination, but with some devotion. The word devotion means love, loyalty, or enthusiasm towards someone or something. Devotion, love, loyalty, or enthusiasm towards someone or something. And friends, we need to have some love, loyalty, and enthusiasm toward God. A lot of times we lack discipline in the Christian life because we have no affection for the things of God. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And the reason we don't spend time in God's Word is not because we're too busy or because we're not organized. It's because we don't love the Word of God. Now, I don't want to, I do really want to put everybody on the spot, but I want you to just think about it. You don't have to raise your hand. But how many of you have read your Bible without fail every day for the last week? Don't have to raise your hand. Just think about it. Without fail, you've read your Bible every day for the last week, the last 2 weeks, the last month. I want you to think about that, because we'll go days sometimes without reading our Bible, or weeks without reading our Bible on our own. But how many of us will go more than half a day without eating? Job said, I have esteemed thy word more than my necessary food. Man, we need to love the Word of God. I guarantee you this, the majority of people in our churches today watch far more television than they read the Bible. We got way more screen time than we have scripture time. Is that true? Oh, I start talking about screens. Some of you are like, yeah, people on Facebook all the time. Yeah, see, it's easy to think about what somebody else is doing, but what about me? What about me? I still like the mantra, no Bible, no breakfast. No Bible, no breakfast. Listen, it ought to be a priority. It ought not even be a question. We need to renew our desire to seek God with determination and devotion, and we've got to give Him priority in our life every day. Psalm 34:10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. God will provide for those that seek Him. He'll bless you. He'll give you. He'll bless you abundantly. Now, the emphasis isn't about seeking more principles. A lot of people want to get in the Bible to learn principles. It's not about the principles. It's about the person. Most of us know more principles than we care to apply anyway. But if we grow close to Him, if we know Him, if we love Him, if we're close to Him, then the principles come automatically. Right? Let me ask you a question. How many of you, when you were growing up, acted a certain way with your friends and a different way with your mama? Can I see your hands? I acted one way with my friends. I acted some different way with my mama or grandma or grandpa, or whoever it was. Everybody? Okay. Why? Because you were scared of mama? And because if you acted with your mother the way you acted with your friends, your mother would knock your head off. Right? Because when you were with your mother, you knew that she expected something different. There was a different level of conduct, a different way to act, a different way to be when you're with mama, right? Amen. At least my mama. Amen. And why is that? And my mom didn't have to break out the list of rules every time I was around her. I knew how to act when I was around her. Amen. And if I ever forgot, I was reminded quickly. But you guys understand what I'm saying? When we're close to Jesus, you don't need a whole list of rules and regulations and do's and don'ts. When you're close to Jesus, you just know how to act around Jesus. And the reason we don't live right, because the reason we don't follow the right principles so much is because we're not close to Him. You guys ever heard the song, Take Time to Be Holy? It says, take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus like Him thou shalt be, thy friends and thy conduct His likeness shall see. It's good, isn't it? Listen, you spend time alone with Jesus, you're going to start acting like Jesus, and everybody is going to see it. Spiritual renewal is about becoming like Christ, because He is holiness. And the Word of God ought to have an impact on our lives. I love Jeremiah. You remember Jeremiah was done. He was going to quit. He wasn't going to preach anymore. Not going to do it anymore. Every time I preach, bad things happen. I'm just going to quit. But then Jeremiah said, His word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. I couldn't stop preaching. I couldn't stop proclaiming His truth. His word's like a fire inside of me. Isn't that what the disciples said on the road to Emmaus? They said when Jesus finally revealed Himself to them, and they said, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way? Man, when Jesus was speaking His word into us, man, our hearts were set on fire. And friends, we can have that. We can have it every day. We can open up this book and get in the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will set our hearts on fire. We need to abide in revival, in renewal. God gives us the desire to know Him, to be led by His Spirit. He causes us to seek the Lord. And He says if we seek Him, we'll find Him. And once we've entered that place of fellowship, our heart's desire should be to stay there, to abide with Him continually. This is, man, so many people, they shine real bright for just a little while, and then they dwindle. But God wants us to be on fire for Him and keep on, to get close to Him and stay there. And I'll tell you this, Brother Tom shared his heart about wanting to see people saved and really saved and their lives really changed. And I desire that too. Because I want to tell you that if somebody can really come to Christ and really be born again and really be given forgiveness of sin, everlasting life, if somebody can really be delivered from the condemnation of hell and come close to Jesus to know and trust Him as Savior and then turn away from that and just go right back into the world like nothing ever happened, I have to wonder whether they really got close to Jesus or not. Jesus changes people. Am I saying that somebody can't backslide? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I got to wonder. I got to wonder about myself when I get away from the Lord. What in the world? Where would I go? Carnal Christians spend 10 minutes with God on Saturday and an hour with Him on Sunday and then goes back to his wicked ways on Monday through Friday. A carnal Christian goes to church to get a small dose of God on Sunday and then he lives like the world the rest of the week. And we shouldn't try to compartmentalize our relationship with Christ. We can't say this is my Christ life at church and then I got this other life over here. No, we have one life. Amen. And it all belongs to Jesus. Amen. Because He paid for it. Right. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. And God desires to have fellowship with us. And honestly, who are we kidding? When our hearts and minds aren't right with God? Who are we kidding when we have wicked and bitter or impure thoughts? God knows everything. So why not acknowledge the fact that He's always with us? Why not live like it every day? And I got good news. When we abide in fellowship with God day by day, we can abide in His joy. Joy, unspeakable and full of glory. 1 John 1, verses 3 and 4 says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. In other words, if you're really saved and you'll start walking with God and fellowshipping with God, you can have joy. Amen. Joy like the world will never know. And the man who's living for the devil has no joy. Amen. Do you know why people that are living for the devil have to keep going back to alcohol and drugs over and over and over again? Because they've got to do something to soothe their conscience. Because they can't live with themselves. And friends, when you stop living for the devil and start living for God, you don't need any of that. You have joy. Amen. Real joy in our hearts and minds. We can walk in joy every day. Amen. There's a God in heaven who loves us. There's a God in heaven who's made a way for us to spend eternity with Him. We can abide in a relationship with Him every moment of every day. He invites us to abide with Him constantly, to include Him in every thought and decision that we make. to rely on Him for every need and to follow Him in every circumstance. He wants to be with us all day, changing our lives, renewing us, making us into the image of His Son. But God leaves the choice up to us. He doesn't force anyone into a relationship with Him. And He doesn't force anyone who has a relationship with Him into fellowship with Him. We have to make the choice. Tonight, as we get ready for a verse of invitation, I want to ask you what your choice is. Examine your heart. Do you have a desire to know Him? Do you have a desire to grow in holiness and closeness with God? If you've lost some of that fire, you lost some of that passion, friend, let's do something about it. Don't be okay with not being in love with Jesus. Don't be okay with not loving His Word. We consider all that God is and all that He's done for us. How can we not love Him? How can we not want to walk with Him? And when we consider the choice of walking in the flesh that leads to death, and walking in the Spirit that leads to life, what kind of choice is it really? I pray if God convicts your heart tonight that you won't just keep on the way you are. But we'd be honest and real before God tonight. And that if you don't have a passion for Him, you get on your knees before Him tonight and ask Him to renew that passion, because it's God that's working in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. Let's stand and sing. What number?
Page 524.
Number 524. If the Holy Spirit's convicting you, would you come?